Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, it's me, your host, Wayne Klingler, with another interesting show of news reviews on Blog Talk Radio. Yes, whatever it's called. Anyway, let's get to the show. First of all, I need to sit there and say, for the record, this is a show of entertainment and opinion, a show of opinion and entertainment only. Please feel free to disregard everything that I say for whatever reason you might want to do that, right? Don't care. In fact, if you'd like to do a show to present your opinion on the different news events going on around Racine County, see Racine, your neighborhood, be it in Racine, Mount Pleasant, Milwaukee, wherever, you should do so. It's easy enough to do. Blog Talk Radio, the half an hour one that I use, service level I use, is free. And if you have a telephone and any type of desktop computer to do some interactions with the webpage to set things up with, you can do a show. You can get your first show up in a few minutes that it takes to do it. You know, I think this show I did in a hurry. I think it took me maybe 5 minutes to set it up. You could put a little bit more time into it, but again, I was caught behind some stuff. So it was what it is, right? And we drive on. Anyway, enough of that. Today's show will mostly be on what's going on in the local elections. There's primaries in around the state of Wisconsin. See, Racine has a few. I think other cities in Racine, other areas of Wisconsin might. I'm sure. We have many offices around the city of Racine that are up with primaries. Not all of them lie within my district. Like, I know that my alderman... I think my alderman has, yeah, he isn't even. My alderman would have a primary, but he doesn't have somebody running against him, to my knowledge. So, which do I vote for? I think I would be eligible to vote in the election, primary election for Supreme Court, and I will do my patriotic duty as I see it and go to my poll, local poll, and vote tonight in the election. I mean, many people fought and died for a right to be able to vote, for a right to have an opinion on how things go within our electoral system. And I would hate to think that we're too busy to honor that sacrifice. I know some people have every intention to make it to the poll today and won't be able to for whatever reason, right? These things happen. But if you can vote, go and vote. And if you don't like the people running, feel free to write in your cat. Feel free to write in your dog. Feel free to write in yourself if you want to, but please go and register to vote. Right? Now, the people of Mount Pleasant can vote, and they have a lot of interesting things to vote on today. They certainly do. They have many trustees, I'm going to call the office. I may be wrong. They might call it technically something else, but I'm going to refer to it as trustees that they can vote for. And by taking part in that election, they can change what many feel is a horrible situation going on via this Howie V. Those people in Mount Pleasant, please go and vote. Please vote for whom you think best. There's a couple of Facebook pages. Just go on and type in Mount Pleasant, and you can find a few Facebook pages with recommendations of who to vote for, right? And I don't live in Mount Pleasant. I don't have a horse in the race necessarily. But I do feel heavy sympathy for the poor people on Highway V, who I think, in my opinion, are being shafted. And I think they're truly being shafted for the benefit of Caledonia TID 4. And I truly also feel that the true beneficiaries by far means are not the farmers, but we need to look at who makes money for Caledonia TID 4. Who are these people? How do they make money? How much money might they stand to make with this wider project goes through? Interesting. What's even more interesting is that the Highway V people, as I call them, and I excuse the play if it's in play term, but the Highway V people are mad as hell. And I suspect they've organized a really good campaign for the people who are running against the incumbent other than Feast, who's not in, who they like, because he stands on their side. And who's doing everything he can to stop what he thinks, I'll paraphrase, is improper procedures. So we need to, if you live out in Mount Pleasant, if you think Highway V people have been screwed over, by all means, as I say, go to the web pages. Again, the go to Mount Pleasant, put it into your Facebook. A bunch of pages will show up that make recommendations. Read, see what you think, and vote accordingly. But please go and vote. Because if it's going to happen to Highway V people, it's going to happen to you. It will. It definitely will happen. Are we to a point where if you have money, you get your way, no matter what it might affect? Or if you're a developer, or you might have connections into one political party or another political party, they'll make things happen for you? Because after all, that's how way politics works anymore. That'd be sad to say we can't snap that. It'd be very tragic, in fact, if we can't snap that. Because after all, shouldn't the people matter? Shouldn't the property owners and Highway V matter? Shouldn't Caledonia pay for their own infrastructure? Shouldn't the people who might benefit from 10-4 pay for that versus the farmers? I think so. You may not. You might think, as some people do. In fact, there's been really interesting articles, letters, on my apologize, letters, written into the Journal Times that basically says that development is more important than anything else. That if how dare you oppose development, because after all, it's for the greater good of Mount Pleasant, seeing Heil, my phrase. Is it for the greater good of Mount Pleasant? Or is it for the greater good, the greater pocketbook wealth of a few? Well, I plan to, as time develops, look into who are the people who might potentially benefit from California TID 4 getting water. Who they might be. What links, if any, do they have to one political party or the other? I think it's an interesting topic of conversation. I think it's something that needs to be discussed. I think it's something that needs to be debated and brought up because, you know, after all, if we don't debate these subjects, if we don't participate, we simply get handed a bill of goods. All right, other elections. There's only one that matters to me in the city we're seeing, which is for the 6th. Which is Sonny, forgive me if I mispronounced her last name, Sonny Wagner, is running against two opponents. I hope Sonny wins. I hope she simply wins by huge margin in the primary and then come the general election, smashes her opponent. I do. Because I think that Sonny does a good job. I think Sonny is one of the few aldermen that care. For sure, if you listen to the city council meetings on Car 25, she will be one of the only people who actually talks and says something. No, she may never get to win a vote, and sometimes she votes in the ways I think is strange and I disagree with, but I have to say, I think she cares about the city. More importantly, I think she cares that we do the right thing for the right reasons as a city, that the city doesn't exist to benefit John Jacobs, the mayor of City of Sin's friends. That the city needs to uphold a standard of the law. That the city needs to do more to be transparent versus hiding things here and hiding things there and hiding things everywhere. It's fascinating what we do because, because I can only believe they're hiding it and not letting things be as transparent as easy as it could be because they don't want people to know. Wow, they don't want people to know. Like Mullen Avenue. Back a while ago, there was a big debate in the city hall about Mount Pleasant. Mullen Avenue. Where they're going to spend a lot of money, buy up a bunch of properties, and do some work there as part of, well, some people would call it part of the river project, you know, Michigan Row. Other people say, no, it's only something different. But anyway, it's to fix up that area to make it look nice, have some outdoor arena. Because after all, millions of people from Chicago every day. In fact, I got a building 5,000 people in my living room begging to have a picnic on Mount Avenue. So I'm going to spend all this money for this Mount Avenue project, right? Wow. But again, who benefits? Who benefits? Who got money from the Mount Pleasant? I want to say Mount Pleasant so badly today. Obviously, it's on my mind. Again, I apologize. On Mount Avenue. Who got money for having things done in Mount Avenue? I know. I think that's something we have to go back to the past, you know, blast from the past, so to speak, and bring that stuff up. Who were the people that made money from Mount Avenue? Was it me? It certainly wasn't you. But who were they? You know, and then as they create this thing and they create this outdoor amphitheater, I'm going to call it, referred to as, how many people ever use it? Because after all, don't you know, these 5 million people in my living room will all immediately go to Mount Avenue to participate in this outdoor theater. Why? Don't you have millions of people from Chicago begging you to build an amphitheater of some sort on Mount Avenue for their enjoyment? Obviously you do, because their ticket says people want to come to Racine. People want to come to Racine from Chicago. Chicago. I can give him a Chicago. After all, he loves Obama. Obama, the Peace Prize-winning president who killed two Americans without due process overseas. Yeah, that's it. That's a ticket. That works for me. I'm sure it makes you proud, too. Now, what is really interesting, so I get off my Mount Pleasant kick and confuse streets with Mount Pleasant, which, I apologize for. There's a new group coming to town. Let's talk about this new group. And I'm going to refer to you to their Facebook page called Visioning a Greater Racine. I'll spell that Visioning, Greater Racine. And you put that in your Facebook search engine, and it will come up. And it's interesting because in the about thing, it says visioning a greater Racine. It's called creating a vision of where the community of Racine can ultimately be 10 years from now. Fascinating. 10 years. Is it kind of like Million Tickets 10-year plan, which you're, what, you're 6 years into it and nothing much has happened into it? Is it like the other things I've been to? I remember when back in the day when Benny, God, I don't want to piss someone else's woman's last name, but Justice Wax had an effort, and that they heavily funded, where their leader, Bonnie P., I apologize, I don't want to massacre your last name, ma'am, did a really good job about gathering people and deciding what they wanted to do with Racine, right? And I remember what that means. They had big whiteboards up there, pieces of paper, and people shout out ideas. And then they got around little group tables, and they talked some more, and they came up with a list of people, came up with a list of things they wanted to see done, that they wanted to be done, right? That they wanted to be done. And as some of these groups actually had meetings. One of the groups wanted to see movie theater downtown. Was the big one, that people want to see movie theater downtown. Obviously, you don't have a movie theater downtown. Basically, what happened, I mean, no disrespect to Bonnie and other people involved in this group, is nothing ever truly happened. Nothing ever truly happened. And who knows why? Well, that's the reason why, but really, truly, nothing ever happened, right? Now, their Facebook page is rather interesting. It says 207 people liked it, and there's four or five things as a link to the Journal Times article that Carla Spado put out there. And actually, there's an interesting article. Is did Carla Spado, i.e. the Journal Times, pay for her trip, or did Visioning a Greater Racine pay for her trip? Don't know. One would think that the Journal Times did, but this is Racine. I no longer trust our local paper. If the local paper could print an article that Thursday morning we should expect the sun to be up by 9 o'clock, I would bet against it. So I don't know. I don't trust the Journal Times at all. That's one of the reasons why I'm doing this podcast, is I don't trust them. You know? Other people do not trust them. And people ask me all the time about my opinions and all kinds of things, be it chickens to what's going on with Racine, and all this is my vehicle. Again, this is a show of my opinion for your entertainment. And I only a vehicle for your entertainment to share my opinion with you, and nothing more, right? Nothing more. Let's see what happens with it. Now, I've asked a question. I sent them a question. I made a statement and I answered the question. The first statement I made is on the page, I don't know how long it lasts for, is there's the article that Carla talked about the trip to Rockford, right? I made this statement. The RS-990 gives a lot of information on the Rockford group, which it does. The Rock, they were hosting a group of people from Racine, and the newspaper doesn't say who they are, right, was hosted by a group from Rockford for, I believe, 2 days. Now, we don't know Do they drive there and drive back? Do they drive there and stay the night? Don't know. Newspaper doesn't say. Nor does this webpage say. It's small matter other than the fact of who's putting up the money for this. Where are they getting this money from? Now, again, it's just a bunch of private people wanting to pool the money together and spend it going to Rockford, though God knows why. Rockford's a shithole if I've ever seen a shithole, right? But they have every right to do so. If they want to pool the money and go up to Pottawatomie and blow it paying nickel slots, they have that right, too. But if it becomes a 501c3, right, a nonprofit, right, we have the right to certain information to include this group's 990, which would be Visioning a Greater Racine. We have a right to that 990. Now, I don't know. I've asked them if they're 501c3 or not, because the next step would be I went through and copy the 990 so I can see what it's about. I got the 990 from the Rockford group. I certainly did. It makes fascinating reading. I got them for the last 2 years, 2015-2014. It makes fascinating reading, if only for the fact of how much their director makes. Now, he's entitled to make as much money as his group wants to give him. You know, if they want to give him a nickel, he can be happy with a nickel. If they want to give him, you know, a gazillion $14, and that makes him happy, and they have the money, and the private group, more power to him, more power to him. But when it becomes a group which is primarily funded by the taxpayers, or a group which is claiming nonprofit status, that's a whole other story. Is it a group that's actually going to do something, or is it a group that exists for grants? Don't know. Only time will tell. I mean, look at Racine. Look at Racine. Look at how many groups exist in Racine, right, to do something and only get grants, it seems. I'm thinking this, and I'll be blunt. I suspect that this is one of the first steps to make the Uptown plan go forward, right? This will be the group that will be used as the focus. Oh, let's talk about Uptown. Let's have a meeting. We'll talk about Uptown. And they'll have the little meetings, and they'll have little whiteboards, have little groups. Next question is, these little groups I keep referring to, they'll have a director. They'll have someone to take notes, right? They'll call them with something. Let's say a group director, a group leader. And will the group leader actually allow comments that people might want, or they've been predetermined what points they're going to bring up? Don't know. I read, and you can find it with a search when you look for in Rockford. You can do a search in Rockford, what's going on in Rockford, and you'll come across an article where a man talked about he felt uncomfortable going to one of the meetings because he didn't think he was so much part of the group, giving group input, as he was a member of something with a predetermined outcome. Wow. Now, he wished his group in Rockford every success, but he didn't like that, and I can't blame him. I've been, again, to more than one. I went to the meetings that they were held at the 20th Century Preparatory School over the Root River Project, right, which is, right. And I felt they were predetermined. I felt when I seen the group leaders, many of them being city leaders, let's put quotes on leaders, city leaders, running these groups, I knew it was going to happen. I knew in my heart of hearts that these people already knew what was going to be reported back to the group. And with the people running that group at that time, nobody was going to say two things. Nobody was going to say two things. And I went to, in my knowledge, I went to every meeting that the Root River people put on about the Root River plan, right? I paid damn close attention. You know, as much as I'm able to, I may attend these groups' meetings, too, the Visioning Greater Racine meetings, too, and pay close attention, too, because next question I have, interesting questions, is how many of these people live in Racine, and how many people live outside of Racine? How many people are paying property taxes in the city, or might live in Caledonia, might live in Mount Pleasant, might live in Stuyvesant, right? And want to see interesting things because, well, they think would be cute. Not because they think would improve the city. Not that they have any intentions of ever moving into Racine, but they think it would look cute. And after all, the city of Racine has nothing more than to force us, the little taxpayers which are left in the city, to pay for them, right? Because we need a movie theater downtown. Even though the only thing downtown that's ever able to stay open any length of time, it seems, is a bar or bar-restaurant. In fact, I was downtown Monday, yesterday. I spent some time downtown. And I seen more than 7 people I saw a week ago Tuesday. I saw about 12. Yeah, about 12. I'm thinking, how many businesses can stay open? And I was downtown about 10 o'clock in the morning. How many businesses can stay open? We had 12 a 12-member foot traffic. How many? Not many. You know, bars can do okay because we go down to Racine at night and the streets are pretty packed. And the bars are doing really, really well. But can you run a district on bars? Well, it seems like you can. But of course, you can also walk the streets of downtown Racine. You can walk down Main Street. You can walk up and down 6th Street. And you can see the numbers of empty storefronts, the numbers of stores which are going out of business, the numbers of buildings which are for sale. But don't worry. Another bar or two will turn everything around, right? And again, these are things that need to be looked into. These are things that need to be talked about. And these are things that need to be discussed. These are things I plan to bring to your attention via this podcast, right? And again, please, 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 if you want to disagree with me, feel free. Don't care. If you want to agree with me, that's fine. That's great. That's fantastic. Oh, other news. We have guests coming on. We're making arrangements to have a few guests come on to talk about what's going on, their opinion, in the service scene or incidents that's happened to them that they want to talk about. I think that's pretty cool. The show should get any of these things going on, we hope, relatively soon, because we need to start talking about them. Do I think that Racine has no hope? No. I think there's a lot of potential for Racine. I do. But to get on this track, one, we need to know what's going on. Two, we need to get involved with what's going on, which is, of course, taking the time to go to the polls, right? And third, we need to have it in our hearts that I don't care if you've been a Republican for 20 years, like I have been, or you've been a Democrat for 20 years, like other people are. We need to start voting for a party, not and vote for a person, or better yet, to throw all the bums out, unless you know in your heart of hearts they really, truly are doing the best job they know how. And how many people can say that about their local elected official, right? How many? I can't say that. Again, I talked about the alderman of the 6th, who I know personally. I think she's doing a good job. My old alderman, old alderman, I got redistricted. My current alderman, Shields, is doing a good job. I can't think of too many others which are. Henry Perez, maybe. But I can't think of too many they are. Now let's talk about the 2nd. In the 2nd district, we might have the return of Silent Bob Anderson to the city council. Why do I call him Silent Bob? Well, he was a city alderman for a few years before, right? And he was known for not saying very much at all. That's why he got the name Silent Bob. Why do you run to be an alderman and you're not trying to take part in what's going on? Why are you there? Easy. Why would you not go to City Hall? Why would you want to become alderman? Maybe because you get a phone call from the mayor saying, Hey, Bobby, run for City Hall. Run for councilman. I'll give you some help. You make a great councilman. You know what's best for the 2nd district, right? And tell you what, make it really easy for you. To make it really easy for you, Bob, so you don't have to overthink yourself, Bob. I'll tell you how to vote. And if I'm too busy because, well, I have to go to Rockford with my new friends, or I may have to go by the Racine Yacht Club for something, talk to the city administrator. He'll tell you what's going on, too. You know, don't you worry about your little head, Bill. Bob, my apologies, Bob. You don't need to know how to vote. We'll tell you how to vote. Any questions, just let us know. Yeah, we don't need that stuff. I expect you'll win the same. I expect you win the primary. And I suspect you go on to win the general election. I suspect at the same time that we'll see some changes, too. I don't think that Ken Lumpkin has. I don't think the three people running Ken Lumpkin's primary. So for county supervisor. So he'll go on to the general, I think. We're not thinking that he'll lose because I don't think, he's running a very effective campaign. That's okay. We have every right in the world to retire and do something else. More power to him. Wish him the best of luck. Should he not win as county supervisor, I wish him the very best in the world. Other things going on, again, what's going on in Mount Pleasant is really upsetting me. Obviously, I've talked about it for a few shows. I've also went and interjected Mount Pleasant when I'm at Mullen Avenue. Again, I apologize for that. I have to get my documentation intact. I'll probably do a couple open records requests because I want to know to the penny how much certain people on Mullen Avenue were paid for stuff going on Mullen Avenue, and then what links they might have to the mayor of Sid Racine and the Democratic Party in this case. Because I more and more also have this belief that a deal was made somewhere, perhaps into Atlantis or perhaps to the Mid-Atlantic University Government Studies Department, where the Democrats get to loot Sid Racine, the Republicans get to pretty much loot Ciccone. Because I see more and more of that all the time. As we will see as we move forward with what's happening with the Sid Racine in the county. Anyway, get over me and give me my email. My email would be wclingman@wi.r.com. One more time, wclingman@wi.r.com. Have a great day. Thank you for listening. Remember, show of entertainment and opinion, and opinion entertainment. And remember this too, you can do your own podcast on Blog Talk Radio, half an hour format, just like this. For your time, basically free. Thanks a lot. Appreciate everybody listening. And my numbers are climbing to listeners. I appreciate people spreading the word. Talk to you. Bye-bye.